The code for this podcast is SSBT010. This podcast is from a series titled How to Measure Your Spirit. The section is about your spiritual survival needs, and the segment covered is prayer. This is discussion number 10 of 42, and covers the scripture reference of 1 Chronicles, chapter 21, verses 7 to 30. Please note that the first 3 or so minutes of this podcast are a reminder of how this all works. Skip past this only if Holy Spirit leads you to. Enjoy Jesus Christ.
Well, welcome. We are covering a series of scriptures from the Bible, and this is covering how to measure your spirit, your emotions, and your earth suit. There are many scriptures that you will be able to go through. You can either do that in groups, just looking at the scriptures and speaking with the Holy Spirit. Or if you would like, you're welcome to listen to the podcasts, and those are also available. If you feel like you would like to support this work, please will you just ask Holy Spirit who it is around you that needs to be blessed. I have discovered that the Lord will provide for me. So bless other people. Bless and encourage and help and strengthen other people. So if you're following along with us in the handbook, you can download that from multidimensionalthinkers.com/a-life-is-worth-living. You'll see the handbook towards the top. There's also an Excel calculator there, so you could also use that if you wanted to. You'll be able to go to the different podcasts from there. They're on different pages. You just need to look a little further down the web page. You will see the links to those things, how to measure your spirit, how to measure your emotions, how to measure your earth. Remember that as you listen, make the keywords in the second column, and the scoring needs to be done based on your conversation with Holy Spirit, where He says to you, yeah, you've got some work to do on this one, or no, you're fine. If you're fine, then it's a zero. If you're not fine, then you mark it as a minus. And that is you giving the Holy Spirit permission to make changes in your life as far as those things are concerned.
And you can't measure it against anyone else, because everybody's on a specific journey with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's got his own agenda about how He is raising each and every one of us. So you can never compare, which means that you can also never judge the other person. But you can, and you should be loving each other along that journey. And that'll give you an indication of how strong you are. Nothing to boast about, because even if you get one that you're not great at the moment, it just means that God's growing you, right? It's good to have things that you have to fix and grow into and things like that, so that's not a bad thing. And again, you can never compare with anyone else.
Please remember that everything on the site and all of these messages are free. So don't charge for them, please, if you're forwarding them on. Almighty Father, we just pray that you open our eyes, please, and teach us what it is that you want us to know. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. So this morning, we're reading from Nehemiah 1 verse 4 to chapter 2 verse 8. Obviously, this is about like surviving. You need air, water, etc., etc., right? So for on the spiritual side, you need eternal salvation, and we're now working on prayer. We're working through prayer, looking at different scriptures and what they say. We are on the 10th scripture, and that is Nehemiah 1 verse 4 to chapter 2 verse 8. Now I'll give you the backstory to this first, and then we'll read through it, and as the Holy Spirit leads, we'll pick up on the different points. So Nehemiah, he was born in Jerusalem, and then Jerusalem was attacked, and Assyria came in and took them away. And they didn't take everyone away. They left some of the poorer people there to make sure that they took care of the land and that they harvested, and so that Assyria could still get all the food that they wanted to get from that place. But they also took the people, and they made them servants throughout the place. And Nehemiah was made cupbearer to the king, which meant that he brought the drink to the king. He would make sure that the drink was right and good, and then he would bring it to the king, and basically the king would then drink from that. And he had been in Assyria for a while now. And in verse 2, then Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped. In other words, had not been taken captive to Assyria, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province, in great affliction and reproach, the wall of Jerusalem also broken down, and the gates thereof were burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. So whenever you come across a piece of information that really moves you, you notice here that he wept and mourned days and fasted and prayed. When you pray, you need to be emotionally involved. You can't just say the words. If your heart is not in it, because God's listening to your heart, he's not listening to your words. You know, you can, that's why Jesus said, these people that make their vain long prayers. No, that's all words. It's your heart. You look at Hannah, how she prayed from her heart for a child, and God gave her one. So, you know, you need to understand that it's almost like you sitting in a car and it's idling, it's not going anywhere. But as soon as you put it into gear, now it can go. It's actually now got torque, it can actually turn, it can actually make the wheels go. You know, the engine actually is in gear. It's the same thing. And it's not something you can put on. You can't pretend, okay, let me see if I can make myself emotionally this about it. If your heart's not truly in that prayer, that it's not going to make any difference. So he wept and mourned days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And it's who you're praying to, right? It doesn't help that you pray. But are you praying to the only living God, Father of Jesus Christ, who is his word? And whose Holy Spirit is throughout everything. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel. You know, don't pray if you have sin in your life that you know is there. Sort that sin out. Now, be careful of not praying because you feel like you're sinning. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is, do not go and intentionally sin and then come and pray. God's not listening, because you're intentionally actually against him with your actions. You know, ask God to forgive you for the things that you've done wrong. Ask Him to forgive you for the things that you've done wrong, and bring yourself to Him and say, Lord, please. I know that I've sinned. I know that I've done wrong. Forgive me, please. And then you pray. Right? And in this case, he was also praying for the sins of his father's house. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Boy, this world is exactly there. They have not kept any of these commandments. And we have to separate ourselves from that. We need to do what is right, what God has commanded that we should do. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But ye turn unto me, and keep my commandments, and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of heaven, will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place I have chosen to set my name there. That's really interesting. He doesn't say, I will bring them unto Jerusalem. He says, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now, we know that God chose to put his name in Jerusalem. We know that, yes. But we also know that with Jesus' death and resurrection, he's chosen to put his name in the body of Christ. Now, the body of Christ is not church organizations, okay? It's not one denomination or another. Throughout these churches and organizations, there are those who truly have committed their hearts to the Lord. They are not Sunday Christians. They're not, and it's not all about works. They walk with Him. They talk with Him. They share with Him. They are close to Him. They love Him. Right? Those are the ones that make up the body of Christ. There are a lot of other people involved. In all levels of church organizations, there are people who are not of the Lord, and they are not in the place where God has chosen to put his name. And God says that he would even, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of heaven, will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power, and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, and to the prayer of thy servants. You see, he wasn't just praying alone. He had set up a platform of prayer. This was such an important matter that he had a prayer group going. There were other servants, others who were also praying. So not only did he initially weep and fast, he then made a concerted effort to gather people together to pray about this matter. And they prayed many days. They set up this platform of prayer. And from this platform of prayer, he then is making this particular petition while that platform of prayer was engaged. And then he says, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant, this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. So when he says this man, he's talking about the king. So he needs mercy in the sight of this king. Whenever you need to deal with an authority, someone that you need mercy from or something like that, where you need that kind of thing, make sure that you have a platform of prayer and make sure that you pray on the day that you're going to engage with that person. It's so important to do this way. Because some people, they go in, they do this quick prayer just before they go in. Sometimes God helps them, but you know what? I've noticed that when you go in to deal with something important, especially if you can deal with any kind of a demonic entity, you need a platform of prayer. You need prayer warriors praying. And you need to be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Which is why in a situation like that, you need to pray and you need to fast beforehand. In fact, it's good that all of you who are praying in the prayer group pray and fast before you go and deal with anything like that. So that's important. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, wine before him, and I took up the wine and gave unto the king. Now I had not been sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why thy countenance sad, seeing thou not sick? This nothing but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. I've also noticed that when you are praying, you will always get this barrier of fear. That this will happen, or that will happen, whatever the case is. Never be afraid. In other words, when I say never be afraid, fear is a spirit, and it will always come to try and stop you praying, and stop you succeeding in what you're doing. Fear will always do that. But being afraid means that you're accepting what the spirit of fear is telling the truth. So never be afraid. Never choose to hug that spirit and accept what it says. You walk through it. Sure, the fear is still there, but you walk through that fear. Okay. So then I was very sore afraid. And yet, you see, he keeps going. And said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad? That's amazing. He doesn't start with a statement. You know, people don't actually engage with you when you start with a statement. You're not asking them to use their minds. You're not asking them to think about an answer. Okay? So, when you ask a question, it's automatic that you're going, oh, okay, wait a minute, this person wants an answer. And now you have to think. So it's really, really useful at all times to rather position something, especially when you've got an important conversation, position it as a question rather as a statement. Statements can be attacked. Questions can't be attacked. They can only be considered and then answered from one portion or another. So, he responds to the king, Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchre, is waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. You see, he had a platform of prayer. He had people praying. And then at that point, he was confident that just this immediate prayer just before he's going to do something, that he knew that God was going to engage him. One of the reasons why you need that platform of prayer is that you fix yourself. You can't get prayer warriors to come in and agree with you on something when you are being selfish. They won't agree with you. When you are being kind to others and they can see that, yes, this is something of the Lord, then they will agree with you. Then you have a platform. then from that platform, when you then pray and say, Lord, please help me, you're not doing it in your own strength. You're not, it's a collective effort. So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Now notice, the king asks him, so what are you asking for? He was ready with his answer. He'd done his planning, he'd done his thinking, he'd figured out all the different things that he would need for this result. He'd done his designs to whatever he could. He knew the resources that he was going to need. He knew who needed to be asked. He'd done a lot of research. He'd found out a lot of things. So that platform of prayer is not just people praying. It's also identifying what is it that you need for the solution. But understand, he was ready, even though he'd made his own kind of solution of the different things that he would want and need. He also recognized that God can change his plan at any time. God can change the plan that Nehemiah was thinking at any time. So he hadn't locked it down to the point whereby this is the only prayer that can work, this is the only solution that can work. But he was ready with an answer. He'd done his homework, he'd thought it through. It wasn't just a prayer that he was putting together just for, well, if this happens, then I'll think about it and do it. He was ready, he was loaded, he was prepared before. So that's all of that is part of the platform of prayer. It's asking God to provide you people who will pray with you about a particular subject matter, whatever that is. Then if your heart's not in it, don't even bother going to the next step, right? So your heart, you need to be serious with the Lord about it. Then you go and you speak to those who the Lord lays on your heart, and you gather certain people who you don't gather, they will come to you, and then you'll say, yes, we want to pray with you on this. Then after that, you pray. While you're praying, you are preparing that answer. You're thinking about what it is that you're going to need. What would you do? You're thinking about these different things, but you're praying. You're still open to the Lord changing his mind about how you're going to do this. In other words, you're walking with him. You're listening to his designs. You're asking him what he believes that you should do. You're not coming up with your own designs and plans. Okay? You're asking him all the way, the whole time. You're asking him, Lord, what do we do here? What do we do here? You're building up that. And every day, you're all praying every day. Then from that platform of prayer, you are prepared. Then you wait for the Holy Spirit to open the door for that next conversation with the right people. And he will do it on a day when he knows when you are ready. You may not think you're ready, but he will know. And he'll open that door and he'll say to you, I want you to talk to him now. Or talk to them now. You've got to do it in God's timing. You cannot rush anything that God is doing. You cannot go ahead of him, and you shouldn't lag behind him. You need to walk at his pace, walk with him, and keep praying. And then at that moment, God will open. Remember to start with a question. Start with questions. Do not start with statements. And God will open the door. You notice that the king asked him. He couldn't help it. I mean, God made him sad. Even though they'd been doing this whole platform on prayer, up until that day, he had not appeared sad. God opened the king's eyes to the fact that he was sad. And God orchestrated that event. You need to wait on God, because God is setting up a lot of different things with a lot of different people, all to work in one orchestrated thing. And it's not about just trying to get one person to do something and then you'll go and do the next. That's the whole point. You can't do this. And that's why you pray. And that's how you pray. When you've got a big matter to address, this is how you address it. And big matters can be physical, but they can also be spiritual. For the people that you're praying for, that are to come to know the Lord, set up a platform of prayer. This is why having prayer partners is so important. When there are things in your life you need to pray about, that's what you need to do. And the Lord will bring you people. So, God bless, guys. Have an absolutely beautiful day. Oh, by the way, on your handbook, you should make a few keywords in the second column, just so that you can remind yourself in 6 months, year time, whatever. You can read through this and see what it is that God actually says. And then score yourself. If Holy Spirit tells you, you know, you've got work to do in this area, then you know to mark it as minus 0.5, so it comes off your 10 points. And if the Holy Spirit says that you're in a good place on this, then it's plus 0. No points come off your 10 points. And by the time you're done with this, you will have, you'll realize where you're weak, where it is that you need to work. What's amazing about this is that actually, the Holy Spirit is working with you in spirit. And by you going through this, you're acknowledging that these are areas that you want Holy Spirit to help you with. And then, only when you can give it to him to work with, can he work with it. And so these are almost opportunities where you say, Holy Spirit, help me with this, please. You come back 6 months, a year later, boy, you see that he's been very busy inside you. Because you see, oh my goodness, check this. I'm much better at this than I thought I was. And that's how you strengthen your spirit, right? Guys, God bless. Have a beautiful day.